It's interesting to look back on this week and consider that journalists are widely regarded as being the most despised class of people across the Western world, especially in Britain and America anyway. This week was a sort of double whammy of the journalists whipping up a mob to destroy a young white Catholic for smiling. And then a few days later to find out that shitty media outlets like BuzzFeed and HuffPo were laying off a ton of journalists. And everybody cheered when they were getting binned. Everybody thought it was great. Everybody loved seeing journalists being fired and given a hard time. I know I did. But was it always like this? Have journalists and mass media types always been compared to vermin and scum? Well, I don't think so. When I was younger, there seemed to be two types of journalist. There was the ambulance chasing hack who wrote for tabloids, and then there was the investigative journalist who wrote for broadsheets. The lowbrow hacks mainly focused on celebrity tittle-tattle and would often be sued for snooping through people's bins and mobbing famous people, famously mobbing Princess Diana to death. The end product of their journalistic content was mainly just prole feed, and the proles did like it. They liked those topless photos of Jennifer Aniston, and they appreciate knowing all the details of Madonna's sex life. The higher class of journalist, which made papers such as The Times and The Telegraph proud, would reveal powerful state secrets, Blair's dodgy dossier, or the Daily Mail revealing Labour's plot to deliberately change the ethnic makeup of Britain. Peter Orban investigating various Zionist lobby groups operating across party lines. In America, the Woodward and Bernstein reveal of the 70s brought down Nixon. What both of these schools of journalism had in common was that the primary activity of the journalist would be to expose the corruption and lies of those with power. Though obviously there was heavy political bias involved. You'll notice though that the stories above are quite old, more than a decade, in fact. Even back then, these stories were outliers. What we can see happening is that the globalist project gathered genuine momentum in the last 15 years or so, and various news outlets were absorbed into the wider project. The orthodoxy was laid out and implemented, and it was the soft Marxism of the Frankfurt School variety. Less than 10 years ago, you could actually read a reactionary article at the Daily Telegraph focusing in on the march through the institutions. That's called a conspiracy theory today. But then the Telegraph itself was absorbed into the PC mass and it all vanished. Those who now wish to have a job in journalism were left with some choices. On the right, it meant cooking and trying to sell the economic merits of mass immigration, or just opening up a blog, or writing from some obscure Catholic website. For people on the left, it meant whoring themselves to the money power, and they whored themselves willingly. After all, the new soft Marxism wasn't primarily interested in economics but culture and identity, and they found that they had the backing of the most powerful institutions on earth. But this led to a problem. Now the left would no longer be holding truth to power because they were the power. If they wanted to side with the little guy on the street, their allegiance would be with the white working class, for example, who are having their wages crushed by immigration and losing their identity, losing the villages and towns which they called home. They would have to side with them against the oligarchs, but they didn't. They punched down. The enemy was no longer Wall Street or banks or fat cat businessmen. It was Dave and Sue from Burnley who didn't want another mosque. It was the people who voted Brexit. It was ignoring the mass rapes of English girls. It was attacking people who were angry about that issue. And this week, it was trying to destroy a boy in a Trump cap who smirked. The left, who once prided themselves on speaking truth to power, now have banks and credit card companies on speed dial so they can have people financially crippled for not toeing the line of the oligarchs. The obsession these hollowed-out wraiths have with censoring and deplatforming people is an interesting one when we consider the potential of the internet. The internet makes it possible for everybody to have their say. Everybody can open a blog or make a video. The common man and woman can now spread their views of the world to the world, and so, in a sense, equality has been achieved. The great digital leveller means that a working class bloke from the northeast, like me, can voice his opinion on a public space, as can the presenter of CNN. Information and opinion have been socialised. I have parity with Owen Jones. The blue tick Twitterati should be happy. The common man has equality with them. But of course they aren't happy. Because when normal people speak, what they have to say runs counter to the narrative of the chosen representatives of, well, the chosen, so to speak. And so that too can be added to the list. The loudest mouths of the blue-ticked lefty journo priesthood have sold their souls and keyboards to the money power, betrayed their traditional base of support, and then when that base of support attempt to use the modern public space to voice their opinions, the journalists carry out censorship campaigns and doxins using their own platforms. And so, yeah, they are hated, and they've earned every drop of it many times over. I'll catch you later, folks.